Okay, good morning. Thank you very much for coming, and may our learning be a merit. Le'ilui nishmas, me'ira chaya nechama bracha, le'a shalom, v'astav and Mordechai. Today's daf is daf Yud Gimel and Meseches Nida. Begins a... This daf is a little bit different than the other dapim. The other dapim and the Mesechta have been dealing really with the question of tuma, impurity. A woman who has a flow of blood, or has a blood that emerges from the makor, from the uterus, is tame. During the 11 days of Ziva, it might be one day of tumah. If it's 3 days of a flow, it could be 7 days of tumah, a need for 7 clean days before she can go to the mikvah. Whereas during the days of Nida, if she has a flow of blood right away, she has 7 days of tumah. Today's daf is going to focus on a different topic a little bit, and that is the issue of Hotzas Zera Levatala. A man is not allowed to cause semen to discharge from him. And because of that, the Gemara is going to teach that a man really, ultimately the Gemara is going to say, a man's not allowed to put his hand lower than his belly button. Because if he's touching his male organ, if he's touching the testicles or other parts, that might warm that part of the body and cause a discharge of semen. We're referring here to a single person. Because when someone is single and not married, it's easier for their body to get warmed up and then have a discharge of semen. And the Gemara here is actually going to be the source for why a man's discharge of semen is such a big deal, and a man should avoid doing it. So let's start the Mishnah. Any hand which checks amongst women a lot, that's a good thing. So a woman who checks herself often, that's a good thing, because if she checks herself to find blood, good. She's going to know to avoid taharos if she finds blood. If she finds blood, she's going to know to tell her husband not to be with her and not to possibly, as Kim said yesterday, be involved in a sin that creates an obligation of a chatas or worse. However, but men who are checking themselves a lot to see if they have discharges of semen, tikatzeitz, that hand deserves to be cut off. We'll see. The Gemara is going to have a question whether it means literally that rabbis would cut off the hand, or maybe it means that the rabbis would curse it, that the Mishnah is cursing such a hand. But the bottom line is, a woman should be putting a hand into that part of the body often, checking to make sure she's tahora. But a man should not be putting a hand at that part of the body often, because that causes more discharges of semen. So asks the Gemara, Maishna Nashim, Maishna Anashim, why is there a difference between women and men? Why with women did the Mishnah say the more a woman checks herself in that part of the body, the better? And with men, it said the opposite. The more a man checks himself in that part of the body, his hand should be cut off. Answers the Gemara, Nashim lav nos hargasha ninu. The way of the human body is that women, the touch does not really do anything. It's not that the touch warms the body, and because of the touch and the warming of the body, there's now going to be a discharge of blood. No, either there's going to be blood or there isn't going to be blood. And the truth is, there's no sin in a woman discharging blood. And so therefore, mishubachas, therefore the women are praised. However, anashim, when it comes to men, ibnei hargasha ninu, that part of the body is sensitive to touch. The more it's touched and the more it's warmed, the more of a chance that there's going to be a discharge of semen. So therefore, a man who's touching that part of the body to keep checking for the semen, tikatzeitz, he deserves that his hand should be cut off. So Gemara says, one second, if the issue is that when a man touches down there, he warms the parts of the body, and that causes semen to come out. So why did the Mishnah talk about a man who checks himself a lot, right? Said a woman should check herself a lot. A man shouldn't check himself a lot. Sounds like a man could check himself a little bit. But according to what you're saying, a man shouldn't even check himself at all. He should never be putting his hand down there, because if he puts his hand down there, that's going to cause a discharge of semen. Kilo marbanami, even if he doesn't do it a lot, he shouldn't be doing it. Answer the Gemara, you're right. Ki katani marba, why did the Mishnah talk about checking a lot? Anashin. That's only referring to the women. The women should check a lot, because the more they check, the more they're going to be, you know, for sure about tumah, about permitting to the husband. But that's a good thing. Women should be checking a lot. But a man, really, the truth is he should never check at all. If he checks at all, he might be causing a discharge of semen. So he should never be putting his hand down there and touching the testicles and causing that area to get warmer and thereby discharge semen. Tana, we were taught in a brisa. When do we say that a man who's checking himself often in that part of the body deserves for his hand to be cut off? That's in regards to checking for semen. And he's checking himself to see if he's had a discharge of semen. But let's say the man is a zav. He had a discharge of zov. But remember when we were first starting and we had Dr. Sohn with us, who used to be a urologist, he said that he thinks that zov is gonorrhea. But they say that also. Okay, so it's some type of a, Rashi says, it's a discharge which looks like the water of dough of barley. So it's like a cloudy type of discharge. So we know zov, if there are three discharges of zov, then the man has to bring a carbon. So if he's checking himself to see if there's zov, so the more he checks himself for the zov, it's also good. Because the zov does not come out from being warmed. So if he puts his hand down there to be checking for zov, that's good. Like the women put their hands down into their spot to check for blood. Now, even if he wants to check himself to see if he has semen, there are ways that he could check himself a lot, and it wouldn't be a bad thing. In Balivdok Petzror, if he checks himself with a rock, because a rock is hard, and since a rock is hard, it's not going to warm the area and cause a discharge. It's hard and cold. Oh, Becheres, or if he checks himself with a piece of earthenware, it's also hard. Bodik, that's fine.
Why should he check himself with
semen? To see if he's tummy. To see if there is semen down there. They didn't have underwear. That's another point. In general, in the Gemara's time, they didn't have underwear. They used to wear robes. But he's checking himself down there to see if he's tummy. See what's on his feet. See what's over there. Asks the Gemara, is it true that a man can only check himself with a rock or a piece of earthenware, but not with his hand? With a makleslo, he can't use a little rag? A man can check himself with a little rag or anything he wants to use. Answers the Gemara, you're right. There is a case where a rag could be used. Abaya is about to teach us. When Abaya had his question, he answered it with a thick rag. If he would use a thick rag, that would be okay, because the thick rag is, again, not going to warm that part of the body. It's hard. And therefore, it's not going to cause further discharges of semen. Hey, Chidman de Abaye, where did Abaye teach his lesson that it's okay for a man to put a rag down there? Ahadatan, he taught it in the following Mishnah. The Mishnah says, let's say a Kohen is eating Shuma. So when a Kohen is eating Shuma, he has to be tor. And then Vihirgish and his Dazue Varav, he feels that the semen's coming out. Now, the semen hasn't come out of the body yet. But he feels that it left the testicles and it's there in the male organ. So you know what he does? Ochez ba'ama. He should right away hold that male organ to prevent the semen from coming out. Because he only becomes tummy once the semen exits his body. So by holding the male organ down, he's going to stop the semen at its spot for at least a moment. Uvoleas ha'tshuma. Then swallows the tshuma. Asks the Gemara, Ochez, he should hold the male organ. But didn't we learn in a brisa? Rebbe Lezer Omer, and we're going to see this brisa again and again today. Rebbe Lezer teaches, Kolochez ba'amaso umashtin. When a person goes to urinate, he's not allowed to put his hand on his male organ. He can't put his hand on the male organ to lift up the male organ so that the urine not fall on his feet or not fall on the floor right next to him and bounce back onto his feet. He's not allowed to hold the male organ. Why? Because if he does that, anyone who holds the male organ, even during urine, he's doing the sin of the flood. He's going to bring a flood to the world. Because the sin of the flood was that the men there were causing unnecessary discharges of semen. He's going to be bringing a mabul to the world. Amar Abaye, Abaye answered, we're talking about bimatlis afa. We're talking about a very thick piece of cloth. And therefore, since he puts his hand down there with a thick piece of cloth to hold his ama, when he knows there's already some semen there, it's allowed because the thick cloth is hard. Since it's hard, it's not going to warm that part of the body to cause further discharges of semen. Rav Amar Rav said like this. In that case of the Mishnah, Kohen is eating truma. Then he realizes, he feels it in his body that the semen is coming out. He doesn't want to get out of the body, but he feels the semen there. What does he do? He has truma in his mouth. So the Mishnah says he can put his hand down there to stop the semen for a moment, but to prevent it from coming out. And he can swallow the truma. Rav Amar Rav said, afilu b'matlis raka. He can even put his hand down there with a soft cloth. You'll say, one second. He puts his hand down there. Rabbi Elazar says he's bringing a marble to the world. He's causing further discharges of semen. No. Kevan da akar akar. This discharge is already coming. It already was this. It's already detached. So when he puts his hand down there, he's not going to cause anything further.
So why can't he use his hand?
So one second, the Gemara is going to say, Abaye will tell you, you can't do that. Abaye chayishtim also lo sufim. He was putting his hand down there with the cloth. He's going to have more semen come. Yeah, he feels some semen coming out, but now there's going to be even more. Rav lo chayishtim lo sufim. Ask him one second. Rav lo chayishtim lo sufim. And Rav is not worried about putting his hand down there with the soft cloth. There's going to be more semen. And Rav is not worried that there's going to be more semen. Rav is not worried there's going to be more semen. Ask the Gemara. Below, is Rav not worried that there's going to be more semen? But Tanya Linden Abraisa. Hala Mazedoma. What is it like putting a hand down in that area? It's like a person who puts a finger into somebody's eye, or he puts a finger into his own eye. Whenever you have the finger in the eye tears, and it tears again. So the same thing is true. When a person has his hand down on that organ, so that's going to cause semen to come out. The more he leaves the hand down there, the more semen is going to come out. So this is a brisa. Rava can't argue with a brisa. So why would Rava say if a man feels that the semen's already on its way, he can put his hand down there because it's not going to cause more to come out? What do you mean it's not going to cause more to come out? Putting pressure in that area is going to cause more semen to come out. Answer the Gemara. Rav will tell you like this. There's a difference between what started the semen coming out. When the semen is coming out on its own, it all comes out at once. So therefore, once it started to come out, if he puts his hand down there, that's not going to cause more to come out. When the Braisa said that the hand down there is like a finger in an eye, that means the man wasn't having semen. Then he puts his hand down there, so that the hand, the artificial stuff, created the semen coming out. So now it's going to create more and more until he takes the hand away. So that's where Rava agrees that there can be more and more semen happening.
Are they talking about semen or gonorrhea?
No, now we're correct. Now we're talking about semen again.
Semen doesn't come out just like that, you know.
It comes when a man puts his hand there and he arouses himself. Then it comes.
Okay.
But Rabbi, what about the, you know, cleanliness, shower, bath, things like this?
Oh, about cleaning that area. Yeah, we'll get to all of that. So the bottom line is that a man who's single is not supposed to put his hand down there. A man who's married could.
For cleaning? For washing?
Yeah, I mean, you can't, you know, it has to, we'll see. The Gemara is going to say that if there's, sometimes there's other pressures on a person that prevents him from getting aroused. We'll have to see. So Gufa, we learned before. Says, anyone who holds that male organ to urinate while he's urinating, keep it maybe mabul olam. It's as if he's bringing a flood to the world. The sage said to Belazar, if he's not going to hold that male organ, so what's going to happen? He's going to urinate. It's going to go right to the floor by his feet. It's going to bounce back. The urine's going to bounce back onto his legs. Nitosos mitzin al ragav. The bouncing of the urine is going to come back. The drops are going to come onto his feet. He's walking around. People are going to see that there are going to be strips of urine on the bottom of his feet, by his ankles. They're going to think, oh, he's a guy who's been castrated. He's a guy whose organ has been cut off. So that's why when he urinates, it goes onto his feet. It doesn't go to any distance. So if people are going to think that he's someone who has that organ cut off, people are going to think that his children are not his children. They're going to say, because he's a guy who can't, who can't be aroused. So the children came from some other man. So they're going to say that his children are mamzerim. You can't set tongues wagging. Says the Gemara, Amar Lahenu, but Lezah said back, that's okay. Mutav shiyoti laz al banav shein mamzerim. Better that you should cause, better than a man should cause that people start talking about his sons and say that there might be mamzerim. Al yasa atzmon rosh hasha achos lefnei hamakom, than to be a sinner before God for a moment through arousing himself and causing himself to have discharges of semen. Tani dechwinted another bray, samalain rebelez lechachamim. Rebelez said to the chachamim, what are you worried about? He should be able to hold that organ so that this urine goes far from his body, so that the urine doesn't bounce back on him, because if the urine would bounce back onto his body, people who see him with urine are going to think he's a krushifcha, then they're going to say that his children are not really his. You know what? It's not such a problem. If he needs to urinate, let him go up on the top of a mountain and urinate from there. So if he's on a high place, there'll be an arc and it's not going to bounce back onto him. Oh, buffer tichoach, or he can urinate into, you know, soft dirt. He can urinate into little drops of dirt. So the dirt's going into a sandbox. The sandbox will swallow up all the urine. It's not going to bounce back onto his feet. He shouldn't urinate. He shouldn't be urinating and holding that organ, because then he's a sinner before God, even for a moment. So the Gemara now says, Hi, Amalu Bereisha. Which did Rebbe Elazar say first? Did he first say, better to cause that the children should be whispered about and not be a sinner? Or did he say, well, there's an advice. You can just go up to the top of the mountain. If he first said, listen, the most important thing is not to be a sinner, not to be discharging semen. So Basad Amalu Isura, once he said that there's a prohibition about this, Hadar Amalu Takanta, then he says, well, you can go to the top of a mountain. Going to the top of the mountain sounds like, but if you couldn't go to the top of the mountain, then okay, yeah, then hold it. But you know, if he says that there's a sin in holding it, that means he's saying you could never hold it. Hello, you're right. First he told him this answer, right? They said, how could you say he's not allowed to hold that organ? Then there's going to be urine on his feet. People are going to start talking about his family. So he said, no. People don't have to talk about his family. If he needs to urinate, he can go to the top of a mountain. He can go to the sandbox. And then Amru Le, but then they said back to him, what about him? What happens if he doesn't have a sandbox he can go to? He doesn't have a mountain he can go to. And Amalemi said, okay, so Mutav Shoti Lazal Banav, then still no choice. Better that he cause people to talk about his children, and he shouldn't hold that spot. He shouldn't make himself a sinner for a moment before God. So why is this such a big deal? Why is this such a big deal that when a man is urinating, he shouldn't hold that part of the body? Why is it such a big deal? Because if he holds that part of the body, he arouses it, and then he causes sometimes a discharge of semen for no reason. Mm-hmm. And that, as we're going to see today, is a terrible thing. The Gemara is very strong that a man has seed. Hashem gave him semen. He gave him seed. It should ideally be creating children. It's so important to create as many Jewish children as possible. And therefore, it's a terrible sin to waste the seed, to waste the semen. Rabbi Yochanan taught us, anyone who takes out the seed, takes out the semen for a waste, chay of misa, deserves to die from the hand of heaven. Heaven decrees he should die. Shanaim, as we find with Erva Onan, the two sons of Yehuda, who refused to impregnate their wife Tamar. It was bad in the eyes of Hashem. Asher asa what he did, by Yamas Kam also, he made him die too.
You see, that
he refused to impregnate her, and our tradition means that he was dashmi b'fnim v'zorim b'chutz. In other words, he would be aroused, but then he would make sure to discharge the semen outside of her and then go into her.
The Arabs took this advice, Rabbi.
Unfortunately. But hopefully, Mashiach's coming. They're all going to do tshuva. And Umala Haaretz Deyas Hashem Kamayim La Yav
HaChassim. Underground 2,500 feet is their place.
Now they'll all do tshuva, Bezrat Hashem. Bezrat Hashem. Tshuva Bekaro.
Tshuva will not solve this in there. No.
Deyas Hashem. Good. Rabbi Yitzchak v'Rabbi Ami Ami. Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Ami said, why is it such a big deal that when a man urinates, he shouldn't be holding that organ? Because if a man causes a wasteful discharge of semen, He says, if he's spilling blood, he's causing lives not to be born. As the verse says, "Hanechamim ba'ilim," those who are getting this pleasure of enjoying themselves with the bonfires of the Eila trees, tachas kol etz ra'anan, underneath every fresh tree, shochte ayiladim banachalim tachas seifei aslaim. They are slaughtering the children in the rivers underneath the rocks. Al tikri shochte ayiladim. Those who are squeezing out the semen, they are the shochtim. They are the ones who are killing the children because they're preventing the children from being born. Okay, so we have two ideas. It's like murder, or it's chayev misa bidei shamayim, causing semen to go out for no reason. Rav Asi said, Motzi shechvazer l'batala, someone who takes out the semen for no reason. Kilo over avodas kochavim, as bad as idol worship. Ksevachat says here, tachas kol etz ra'anan, ksevasam, ala arim arami, v'tachas kol etz ra'anan. We have the same phrase. Tachas kol etz ra'anan in regards to the idols that were put underneath every etz ra'anan. Rav Yehuda and Shmuel, havu kaima ha'igur de beiknishta de Shafi Yasa ben Ardan. They were standing on the roof of the shul of Shafi Yasa ben Ardan. Now this is a very special shul. Rashi tells us in Masechta Avodah Zarah that this shul was built with the stones and the dirt of Yerushalayim. When the exiles went out to Babel, they carried with them, can you imagine, right? These are refugees, the people being deported from their homes, like the Jews were deported to Nebuch, to Auschwitz, and to the slave labor camps. And what do they take with them? They're allowed to take a bag, maybe. So these Jews were allowed to take maybe one bag along. What did they put in their bags? They put dirt and stones of Yerushalayim, and they used those dirt and stones to build a shul in this place, Naharda. So it was called the shul of Shafi Yasev, the shul of hopefully Hashem will return us back to Yerushalayim. And the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, the Shekhinah never left that shul. You could feel the Shekhinah, you could hear the Shekhinah in that shul. So they're standing on the roof of this special shul. It's the most special shul. Then it was from Yerushalayim. It's not the stones of the Beis HaMikdash. So they're standing on the roof. So now, I mean, it's probably never a good idea to urinate on the roof of a shul, but certainly when you're on the roof of such a special shul. So I'm going to read to Shmuel. So if Yehuda said to Shmuel, "Tzarech ani lahashkin, I need to urinate. What am I going to do?" So Shmuel said to him, "Shinina, the big Talmud Chacham, sharp one, echoz ba'masl. Listen, here you got to hold on to the organ. So if you don't hold on to the organ, the urine's going to go straight down onto the roof of the shul. So hold the organ, vashit lachutz, and urinate out of the shul roof." So I said, "How could Shmuel advise of Yehuda?"
He had some horror that there was a rabbi giving a lecture, and they said he had to urine, and they said to urine in front of everyone in the cars.
Yeah,
and
you can't hold it in, because if you hold it in, it makes you sick.
Because it makes you sick, and it's in the mirror.
That's right.
And how was he saying now? Wasn't the rabbi giving the lectures in the shul when he was giving it?
Yeah, but now he's on the roof. They were on the roof. So he's saying, okay, make sure that you urinate exactly as you're saying. Don't hold it in, but urinate in a way that the urine goes far from the roof by holding the organ, holding the body parts. So they might ask, 1 second, hey, how could Shmuel tell Rabbi Yehuda to hold the body part? Yeah. We learned in this braisa. Now for the third time, Rabbi Elazar said, anyone who holds that organ when he's urinating, he's like bringing a flood to the world.
Yeah.
Amar Abai said, no, there's a difference. This might address Kim's point. Aso kiboleshes. Shmuel considered Rav Yehuda like a soldier. And when there's a soldier, so then there's fear. When there's fear, there's not going to be semen. Let's say a group of non-Jewish soldiers entered into our city. They're not in a war right now. They have time.
Yeah.
So if they have time, chavios psuchos asuros. Any open barrels are prohibited. Open barrels of wine, that is. Because we assume that they put their hands in it. And they had time. They may have taken some of the wine and poured it to their idols. They didn't yai nesach. Stumos, but if the barrels are still sealed, mutaros, then you're allowed to drink from that wine. Because if they would have opened it, they would have left it open. If it's closed, probably they never got to it. However, b'shas melchama, if they came into the town in a time of war, when they're under time pressure, they're running to battles. Elu ve'elu mutaros, both the sealed barrels and the open barrels are permitted. Even the open barrels are permitted. Why? Because they have no time to take wine and pour it to their idols. Amos, so what do you see? Dekivin to be EC, since they're afraid, because they're running to a war, lo asun suche, they're not going to take some of the wine and pour it to their idols. So that was what Shmuel was telling Rav Yehuda. You who are all afraid of ruining a shul and disrespecting God, since you're afraid, you're not going to start thinking about thoughts that would cause an arousal and cause semen to go out for no reason. So you can put your hand and hold it and urinate far away from the roof. So Gemara said, one second. What's the big fear over here? It's not as if there's a war, it's just on a roof. So several answers. One answer is, he was on a roof at night. So he's afraid to fall off the roof. So when he's on that pressure, he's not going to have discharges. He's afraid because his teacher is here. Shmuel's right next to him. Alternatively, he's afraid because of this special shul. The shechina's in the shul. Alternatively, he's afraid of the shechina all the time. Shmuel used to say about Rav Yehuda, "Einzi Yulud Isha." This is not a human being. This is an angel. He was always afraid of the shechina. So therefore, he's not going to have discharges of semen. Alternatively, he was married. And that's the key point. Rav Nachman, said, even though Rav Elazar is so upset at a man touching his male organ, if he's married, mutter, he's allowed to hold the male organ when he urinates, because since he's married, he has less urges. Alternatively, another answer. Shmuel told him like the following lesson. Tani Abba Breid Rebbe Yamin Bar Chia, Abba the son of Rebbe Yamin Bar Chia taught, even though a person, when he urinates, is not allowed to hold the organ to urinate, he's allowed to hold it, he's allowed to help out with the testicles below. So that's what he was doing. He was holding the testicles beneath them. To hold the testicles beneath them, he was allowed. Alternatively, he was issuing the guidance in this way. There is a boundary about where you're not allowed to hold the organ. May atara, from the top crown, ulamata, and out, mutta, you're actually allowed to hold. You're not allowed to hold from the crown and back towards the body. May atara ulamala, from the crown and up, namely towards the body, usters, where you're not allowed to hold. So he told him to hold all the way at the tip at the top, which he was allowed to hold. Somebody who deliberately arouses himself, should be put into excommunication. Why didn't Rav say you're just not allowed to do it? Answer the Gemara. This is a very difficult sin. This sin is where a person is inciting the Yetzirah to cause problems for himself. And therefore, just to say it's not allowed is not going to be sufficient. So better to say that if he does it, he deserves chayrim. Rabbi Ami said, somebody who arouses himself deliberately, nikra avarya, is called a violator, a sinner. This is the skill of the evil urge. He tells him to do this. Tomorrow he tells, okay, now do the next. Then he's going to tell him worship idols. He's going to worship idols too. So from this sin, he's going to come to many, many other sins. He could others say, anyone who brings himself through his actions to have thoughts of sin, so he goes to a place where men and women are not dressed appropriately, etc., they are not going to bring him into the area of Hashem. Sevach, it says over here about Erev Onin, Vayerav Eini Hashem, was bad in the eyes of Hashem. Sevasam, and then you have another verse, Ki lo el chafetz rasha atza, your God who doesn't want wickedness, lo yegur chara, evil cannot live with you. Vamar Blazer said, my definition was meaning of the verse, Yedeichem damim olo, your hands are filled with bloods. These are people, men, who cause semen to come out of their bodies through their usage of their hands. So their hands are filled with blood. That's all the children that could have been born, that because of their hands are not being born. Tana de Bar Bishmo was taught in the Brice of Rabbi Shmuel, Lo Sinaf. The Torah says, One of the Ten Commandments, lo sinaf, that means lo sehe b'chaniyuf. There shouldn't be in you any type of this sin of adultery. Bein biyad, whether you're rubbing that organ with your hand, or bein b'regel, or rubbing it with your feet. Tanar Rabbanu lived in a braisa. The insincere converts and those who play around with the young boys, they prevent Mashiach from coming. I understand the converts who are insincere prevent Mashiach, because insincere converts, as Rabbi Chelbo said, are difficult, like sapachas, like a plague. In other words, they don't really want to fulfill the mitzvot. They join the Jewish people. Now you have Jews who are, they're Jews, and now they're not fulfilling mitzvot. So it makes it hard for Mashiach to come. What does it mean that those who are playing with children prevent Mashiach from coming? If it means they're people engaged in homosexual relations with young boys, those are people not just preventing Mashiach from coming. These are people who deserve to be stoned. What it means is that there are men who put their bodies against the bodies of young children. So they put their organ against the bodies of young children. So then why do you say they're preventing Mashiach? So they're causing themselves to get aroused, and by being aroused, they're causing discharges of semen. So they're deserving of bringing the flood. So the Gemara says, you know what it means that playing around with children prevents Mashiach? In the Sivik Tanos, we're talking about men who marry children, marry young girls. So by marrying the young girls, these are young girls who are not going to be able to have children yet. They have to grow up. So for all these years till they grow up, there's going to be semen coming out without creating children. That prevents Mashiach, Tam Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi taught us. In Masech the Sanhedrin, in Ben David, Bad, Shei Kalu Kol Neshama Shebaguf. There's a certain palace in heaven called Guf, and Mashiach's only going to come when all the souls that are in Guf come out and come into this world. Shenemar, as the verse says about the redemption, Ki Ruach Milfana Yatov, Hashem says, for the spirit before me, I've made souls. So the fact that what's preventing me from sending the redemption is that all these souls that are in front of me that I've made to be sent down, they're not coming down. That prevents the redemption.
Sounds like we need more Noach has to come before Mashiach, Rabbi.
Because of what's going on in our society, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Rabbi, the sin is that the girls are too young to conceive, so even though they have in relations with them.
Yeah.
But I mean, if someone has relations with a postmenopause woman,
that's permitted.
So why would it be permitted and not this one?
It is technically permitted, but we're saying that morally, right, it's not something which gets a chiyuv nisa bidei shamayim or creates the mabul. We're saying, though, it's within the letter of the law, but it's against the spirit of the law, and it's going to prevent Mashiach from coming, because to bring Mashiach, we need all the Jewish children that are supposed to be born to be born. So whatever a person does to prevent Jewish children from being born, chas v'shalom, preventing Mashiach.
Playing with themselves rather than, or be with an illegitimate woman. Is that the same sin, or is it a different sin?
It's a different sin.
It's
a different sin.
It's adultery.
It's a different sin.
Okay.
But it's within that verse. It's hinted in that verse.
What does Torah want? Do they want you to have 1,000 wives instead? Because it's not a zero-sum game. For most people, meaning you're going to be able to still have kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not like, you know, a person releases a scene over here and then he releases a scene later. He didn't necessarily hurt anything. Unless the models, you're supposed to have a lot of wives and keep.
I don't know. I think the goal is to, within, I don't think model is to have lots of wives, because we saw in the Mishnah it was called tsaros, multiple wives. It's called problems.
What I'm saying is then.
So I don't think that's the model. I don't think there ever was the spirit of the law is to have lots of wives. I think the model, and we also saw the Gemara said that it's good to have intercourse when a woman is pregnant, because it actually helps the baby inside. So it's not like. It's not like every semen, every drop has to end up being a child. I think the point is that the drops can't be wasted. It shouldn't be wasted. So when, you know, here's a man who's healthy and viral, what's he doing marrying a four-year-old? And now for the next 7 years, right, there's no chance of having a child. Yeah, it's the wrong hashkafa. The hashkafa should be that a person is looking to bring as many children as possible into the world. The more Jewish children, close to Mashiach comes. We want there to be lots of Jewish children in the world.
So if the woman has some, you know, a physical problem, cannot get pregnant, the man should be allowed to marry another woman to have children with her. So he,
technically,
now
he is. Technically,
is this,
he is.
Is this legal? You know, maybe. You don't need no gets, no mets, no.
You need heter meir rabbanan.
Never need mets.
Huh?
Heter meir rabbanan. But sometimes they do that.
They allow them to do it because of the situation?
Yeah, the Rosh Hashiva of Lakewood is married to more than one wife. Rabbi Kotler. Ba'anashim tikatzetz. His first wife refused to accept
a
get.
Let's continue.
So he was willing to give her a get, but she refused to accept it. Ba'anashim tikatzetz. So again, the Mishnah said that a man who touches that organ often, even though he's checking for semen, he deserves to have his hand cut off. They asked him the yeshiva, Dinatan, is that the law? You actually cut off the hand? The court takes him and cuts off his hand, like in Saudi Arabia. Olatusatan, it's just a curse. So Dinatan, is it a law? Kihad Rav Huna cuts the other. We find that Rav Huna actually cut off the hand of a person. There was a guy who was about to hit his friend, Rav Huna cut off his hand. Olatusatan, or maybe it's just a curse. Tashma, come in here, proof. The time of the Dinabrais, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Tarfon says, Yad la'am, any person who puts his hand in that, and touches that organ, he cuts its yad al-tiburo. He cut his hand on his belly button. Amrulo, the sages said, Va'alo kreso nifkas. If you're going to cut the hand by the belly button, you're going to cut into the stomach. That's not fair. Amlehen. Rabbi Tarfon said, oh, it is okay. Muta tibako kreso wa'yer l'rer shachas. Better to cut him and cut into his stomach than for him to go down into Gehenna. Now, you know, Bishlam Adina, it's not, if you can tell me it's a law that we actually cut his hand, that's what they say to him, Valo Kreso Nifkas, you're gonna cut the stomach. Eliam Lutusatam, but if it's a curse, my Kreso Nifkas, why is anything gonna happen to the stomach? Elamai, so what are you gonna tell me? Dina Tan, it's the law that a man who touches that place gets his hand cut off. Lo Sagi de Laval Tipuro. You have to cut the hand when he's holding his belly button? That doesn't make any sense. Ella Akikam, this is what it means. This is what Rabbi Tarfon was saying. Anyone who puts his hand lower than his belly button, the hand deserves to be cut. The sages said, Rabbi Tarfon, if that's the case, let's say a person has a thorn underneath his belly button, in his stomach. Wait, Len, we can't take the thorn out. Rabbi Tarfon said, yes, we shouldn't take it out. They said to him, but if he's going to leave thorns in there, a little kreso nifkas, the stomach's going to blow up. Amalami said, it's okay. Mutav tibaka kreso, better that the stomach get cracked. Lo yeru lever shachas, versus him going down to Gehenna, because he's putting his hand beneath his belly button. Again, this is the halacha. This is only referring to single men. Once somebody is married, because the Yetzirah is less, as we saw with the story of Yehuda and Shmuel on the roof, they are allowed to put their hand lower than the belly button and even allowed to hold the organ when urinating.